Thank you, Tori. We're glad y'all sent her our way. At least had some part in that. Brother Tyler, when are you going to sing a duet with your wife? She won't let you. I'd rather hear Brother Tyler sing than eat. I've heard him eat, and we're thankful that they're on staff here, folks. We really are, and we appreciate their ministry here with us. Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and let's look at 2 Kings. We're going to go through the book of 2 Kings, already one message that we preached in this series of 2 Kings. Today we want to look at chapter 2. We'll begin with verse 19, going through verse 22. 2 Kings, chapter 2, starting with the 19th verse, going through verse 22. The title of the message today, Healed Waters, Waters That Were Bitter, But Waters That Were Healed. 2 Kings, chapter 2, beginning with verse 19. And the men of the city, and that's Jericho, said unto Elisha, you remember Elisha had taken over now in the place of Elijah, proven to be God's man with power, the prophet. And so the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is naught, and the ground barren. The water is no good. It's bitter, poisonous, causes even illness. The water is naught, and the ground is barren. It can't even be used to cause things to grow. And he said, Elisha, bring me a new cruse, not an old one, but a new one, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters, and cast the salt in there, and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. Now, Jericho was a very lovely place. When you would go down into the barren area of the mountains of Moab and all of the territory around it, you would have thought that it was a very lovely place and a very nice place there in the desert. And certainly it is now. As you see it, I've been to Jericho. I'm sure Dr. Barber and some of these other pastors and others have been there. And it's an oasis in the desert. A very beautiful place, a very lovely place. And so this was the territory that he's talking about. A historical place, to be sure, because Jericho was one of the first cities they went into when they went into the promised land after they came out of bondage in Egypt. And they went into that land, and the walls of Jericho, you remember, came down, sank down into the ground. And so it was a place that was historically significant. A place of matter to those that knew about Jericho. Beautiful surroundings. But it lacked one thing. There was a real problem in this great city of Jericho. And that is, they did not have a good source of water. They had a bad source of water. And it looked like it was good from a distance. But on the inside, when you got into the city, you realized there was a problem. Their water was no good. They couldn't use it on the crops. They couldn't drink it. Those who drank it, many would get sick and many would even die. So they've got a real serious problem here. You know, there are a lot of cities like Jericho. There are cities you look at from a distance and you would think, man, everything's fine in that city. You might even look at the bright lights of Las Vegas and think that that's a fine looking city from a distance. But you get down on the inside and you find out they got a lot of problems. They have sin. Somebody referred to it the other day as Sin City. Many mansions you look at, they look so good from the outside. You'd pass by and see the beautiful columns and you'd say to your wife or your husband, man, that's probably a $500,000 house or maybe a $1 million home. And some of them even higher than that. Brother Wren and I went in an area last Saturday a week ago visiting, and you had to go to the gate and ask the guard if you could go in, and they were big, huge homes. And they all look nice on the outside, but friend, if you'd get on the inside of some of them, you'd find out they've got some bitter waters. There is no joy. There's no happiness. Look at the movie stars out in Hollywood. They have all the money and all the mansions and all the fame, and they're miserable, and they're taking their lives, and that is not something that is new. There are people, you see, that put on a facade. They smile, and they look like they're happy, and they would make you think they're real happy and that everything's all right in their lives. But the truth of the matter is, deep down inside of them, their conscience is bothering them. They know that they have sinned against God. They know that they have something called guilt. And that guilt stays with them all the time, and they can't get rid of that guilt. They don't have any peace in their heart about eternity. Oh, it may look good on the outside, but on the inside, they don't have peace. Some of you here today, perhaps you're that kind of person. If people were talking to you, they'd think you had peace. They'd think you were all right. But you know you hadn't settled it with Jesus Christ in your heart. You're not ready to die. You still have guilt. You hadn't settled that. And you know there's a problem. It may look good to us. But this passage, I believe, points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, I can tell you today, is the only one who'll make it right. Nobody else will make it right but the Lord Jesus Christ. There are waters of sin everywhere. There are streams of sin covering the whole earth. And they certainly cover in our territory. The streams of sin that are everywhere. Now, certain countries you go into, you missionaries would know this, that they have some unique sicknesses that are sicknesses that are part of that indigenous area. They're sort of things that people that live there get. Nobody else gets them, maybe in other places in the world. And there you go to travel to different places and you'll find out that is true. But let me tell you, there's a disease that has covered the whole world. It's everywhere in the world. Everywhere, and everybody's under that disease, and that is the bitter waters of sin, the disease of sin. It has flooded the whole world from Adam and Eve and on. And so there's that disease that is out there, and let me promise you, I'm convinced that certainly in America today, we have the streams of sin running everywhere. Look at our national life today. Would you agree with me that the streams of sin, maybe the floods of sin, are running in the national life of our United States of America? Take a look at the political parties. Take a look at who's out there and who's running and who's on the ticket. Now, I'm not going to endorse or unendorse. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says, and I hope you'll vote right. Amen? But if you look at where we've come to, and I've heard many, many Christians say recently, man, we just don't have a whole lot to choose from. We just don't have a whole lot to choose from, and they're not just talking about money and social welfare and all of those things. They're talking about the spiritual aspect and where we are as far as leadership that honors God and puts God where God ought to be put in their lives. And they look at it and say, we've got some problems. Now, you say, well, compared to other countries, we're standing pretty high. That may be so, but I agree with that, and I love America, and I'll salute the flag and say the pledge, and I'm a patriot from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And according to other world standards, we're doing pretty good, and I'd still rather live in America than anywhere in the world, personally. But according to God's standards, we're not doing so well. And we better weigh ourselves according to God's standards. We're falling short. Will we have a president that is a Christian who will honor God and honor God's principles? Only God knows whether we will or whether we won't. What about a Christ-like legislature? What about the House of Representatives and the senators in the national level and the state level? What kind of people are in office today? Obviously, if you watch the news much, you'd know that some of them are atheists, and that's not good. You know that some of them are contrary to the Christian principles, and that is not good. You know that some of them are avowed homosexuals, and that's not good. Righteousness, as we've preached recently, exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. We look at our leadership and we look at our nation, and I can tell you that the streams of sin and the bitter waters are everywhere. And many in our legislature have trampled the laws of God and the principles of God underneath their feet. And I believe the political waters ought to be purified. That's why we need to pray for our nation. That's why we as God's people need to live right, and we need to have our hearts right with God. And we need, may I say this too, because it's going to come around again, we need to be prepared and knowledgeable of who we're voting for. We need to get out there and register and vote and try to put people in office that are righteous and do the best we can. I know we're not going to usher in the kingdom. I know we're not going to bring in the millennial reign of Christ. But I believe God tells us to be light and salt as long as we're breathing air. And we ought to do all we can to stem the tide of the streams of sin in our country. Look at our social life. Look at the leadership in our social life and in the life of our people. And all of that reflects our national life. When we see how people are living and what they're doing, we still will put an atheist in office or some notoriously wicked person who lives an immoral life. We still do that. We've got problems. Look at the press. They've always been a problem. Zacchaeus couldn't get to Jesus for the press. You know that, don't you? And they still are interfering. There's still a problem. The press is no friend of Christianity. 99% of the people probably, I don't know what it would be percentage-wise, that are in the press are secular humanists who really are not in favor of what you and I are in favor of as born-again, Bible-believing Christians. And you have not only the press as far as television, radio, and the printed page, you have a lot of magazines, all of that's out there. All of those things that are now permissible and allowable and purchased even by, believe it or not, some that are born again believers that are members of our church, some of the junk that is out there, God help us. We don't need a lot of that junk, we need the Bible. Back to the Bible. Read the Word of God. We have a circulation of literature that is secular and humanistic in every way, and that is a religion, by the way. Look at our commercial life. People trying to cheat businesses out of money. Businesses trying to, any way they can make a buck, trying to cheat people out of money. They'll lie, they'll advertise. That's just something that shows us our society and the bitterness of the waters in our society. Employers who will not pay the people they hire a decent and fair wage, and they make all the money. Some of the CEOs who lose billions of dollars. I've got to try to figure that out. I do better than that than a Baptist preacher. And don't handle but about $1.5 million a year. And yet they handle billions of dollars and lose billions of dollars. And then they pay them $8 million because they fail. I don't quite understand that. And then they take money away from people who really need it. And I'm for the free enterprise. Believe you me, I am. But just look at all the reflection of where we are in our society, away from God. Look at education. We have educators in our church, teachers, and workers who work in education, and I thank God you're there. I thank God you have light. I thank God you have salt. Have all the salt and all the light that you can get away with. Amen? But I want to tell you, overall, secular education has gone the way of secular humanism. And that's why they will not let us teach on equal territory and equal ground with equal emphasis, creation, rather than the lie of evolution. And so that all shows us what our society is. And we have a lot of sin in our society. Now how can these corrupt currents be changed? What in the world can we do about it? Here they had a nice city, but they had a problem. They had water that made people sick. And they needed some help, and they needed something done so their crops would grow and people could eat. They would have water to drink. I'll say it, I've said it a while ago, and I'll say it again. Jesus is the only one who can do what needs to be done. Amen. He's the answer to every problem. He's the only one that can get it done. Laws won't get it done. You can have more resolutions. That's not going to get it done. You can introduce anything you want to the United Nations. That's not going to get it done. I'm telling you that Jesus is the great healer of all of the bad water and all the bad streams in the world. Now, how's he going to do it? Well, thank God he works through his word. Amen? Amen. This is God's word I hold in my hand. I believe it with all of my heart and all of my soul. Amen. I believe it is the inspired, inerrant word of God. Verbal plenary, word for word, all of the words. I believe I'm preaching from God's book as I preach. And it is the Bible that's going to get the job done. God blesses this book and convicts people of sin. Amen. I preach the word of God and preach about sin and preach that hell is hot and heaven is real and sin is something you're going to be judged for, but God has given his son and he died for you and you can be born again. Amen. And if more people we get saved by preaching the word of God convicts of sin. The word of God tells about judgment to come. Listen to me, my friend. If you're not saved today, you will someday face the judgment of God. I don't like to have to tell you that. I don't like to have to tell you there's a real hell. And if you die, you're going to hell and you will spend eternity there and never get out of hell. There's no second chance. There's no such thing as purgatory or any other place where you're in limbo for a period of time and finally you maybe get out of there. No, listen, friend. When you die, if you die without Jesus Christ, that's it. Final, bottom line. It is done forever and forever. We just preach what the Word of God says about it, but we preach His love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Thank God Jesus Christ can take care of that through His Word, and He can bring you to that place of conviction. And He does it through His people. God wants us to be salt. I said it a while back, I'll say it again. Salt is no good if it just hangs around the warehouse all the time. Salt needs to get out of the warehouse and get out there on the tables where the food is, where the cooking's going on, so it can do some good. We are the salt and we are the light of the world now that Jesus has gone away. And so we need to have a purifying influence. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." One of the reasons we're in the mess we're in today is because we have not been salt and light like we should have been. Christians, we need to stand up, speak up, fight for right, do everything that we can that God allows us to do within purview of His Word, to do all that we can to bring revival to our country and to stem the tide, to stem the flood of wickedness and evil that is out there. And we can make a difference if we'll stand up for God. I know there's some people that say, well, there's no hope, there's no use, there'll never be a revival. Well, bless God, if it can just be a revival here, I'd be happy about that. And revival in our Bible-believing churches, I'd be happy about that. We can have revival. God's not weak. We need to trust Him. We need to do what we should do. In the Dark Ages, what they would call the Dark Ages many times, the way they would practice capital punishment is they would withhold all salt from the person that was incarcerated and had been guilty of a crime. And eventually, when all that salt was withheld, a slow, agonizing, terrible death, they would finally die. That was a form of capital punishment. You and I can't afford to withhold the salt. People need to live. People need to be redeemed. They need to be free. The ocean. Someone has referred to it as the chemical bath of the world. The chemical bath of the world. The ocean is symbolic of that because of its saltiness. And there's a lot of purification in the ocean. If that salt wasn't there, it wouldn't be as pure as it is. And there's a lot of life that is sustained in the ocean. And you and I go to Red Lobster and eat some of it once in a while because that salt has some purifying effect to it. We should have that. We are to be the life of this world. Christian, don't lose your savor. If the salt has lost its power, its taste, and all that it does, if it has lost it, it's good for nothing but to be cast down and trampled on under the foot of man. And that's exactly what they would do with bad salt. When it lost its savor, they'd take it out, and that's how they built their highways. They would throw it out on those on those highways that they traveled, and they would beat it down. It would become hard like pavement. That's what Christ says. And there are some Christians, listen, if we lose our Savior, if we lose the power of God, we lose the zeal of serving God, the joy of serving God, the sacrifice of paying the price to serve God, we lose our Savior, our holiness, our spirituality, then we have no use to God. We need to be revived people on fire for God, living for God with holy lives in private as well as in public. Amen. Don't lose your Savior. Don't lose the power. Because if we do, the devil's going to exercise his influence and the world's going to. And if we don't exercise our influence with salt, I guarantee you the devil's going to exercise his influence with the world, and he's going to win many times. How many Christians do you know? We can all say, I know some, that we're going for the Lord and we're always in church serving God, living for God, and all of a sudden they got away from God, started skipping church, quit serving God, they lost their Savior, and they got in a mess, and now they really can't do much for the glory of God. That's a sad, sad thing. We ought to exercise that influence in every area of our life and resist unholiness. Are you here today and you're not saved? Are you one that has never been born again? Ask yourself that question. And here's the problem. The stream of sin has reached everybody. And the stream of sin and the power of sin is still going through you. It's just like this well. This was the well spring. This was the source of all of their water that it came from. It was a place where they got all of their water from, the spring, the source. And it was all contaminated. And friend, that's why you are lost, and that's why you need to be saved, because sin has contaminated your life. And it's bitter water. I want to ask you, is it unchanged? Has it been unchecked? Where are you? Are you saved? Do you know Christ? Do you know for sure that you know without question? Some people say sometimes when you ask that question, are you 100% for sure if you died you're going to heaven? That bothers me. Or that made me think. Well, thank God it does make you think, because you need to know the answer to that, and there's only one right answer. But if sin is still dominant in your life, you haven't had that forgiven, you hadn't gotten the new nature, let me ask you something. What have the waters of sin done for you? Nothing. Nothing good. The stream of sin has never done anything good for anybody. It's only brought bad and heartache and all of the bitter waters that have come into our lives because of that. We have an accusing conscience. Our conscience said something's wrong. I'm guilty. There's all of that that is in our inside of us that is wrong, and we know it. Outwardly, as I said, other people may not realize it. But you know in your heart whether you're ready to meet God. You know better than anybody else in the world. And your conscience, with the help of the Holy Spirit, will speak to you and say, listen to that preacher, listen to the Word of God. You're really not ready, and you know you really hadn't made peace with God. You can smile, you can come to church, you can go through all of the traditions and all of the rituals, but you know in your heart that you have not made peace with God. You're not saved. I'm telling you, you're not going to make it on your own. You're not going to heal your own self. You're not going to heal your own well. It's not going to happen. It has to come through Jesus Christ. You can't undo the past. You can't undo the bitter waters. You can't undo the poison that's there. You can't undo the guilt. It's there until you come to Christ. And when you come to Him, He puts it all under His blood. And He holds it and remembers it against you no more. Because you're gloriously saved. Praise God for redemption through Jesus Christ. And only Christ can give that forgiveness. How? Through His blood. Amen. Not joining the church. Joining the church doesn't save you. You can join every church in Texas and still die and go to hell. Being baptized doesn't save you. You can be baptized by sprinkling and pouring and immersion and three times backwards and three times sideways and three times the other side and any way you want to, but that's not going to save you. It has to be the blood of Christ. It isn't just being a Baptist that's going to save you. It has to be the cleansing blood. You have to rush to Him. You have to tell Him you're a sinner. You have to be spiritually bankrupt, as the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, and admit that you have nothing to bring to Christ except your filthy rags, no matter what it is, and He'll forgive you and wash your sins away. The happiest moment in life is when He says, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." The happiest moment in life is when He says, "The water's okay now. The waters are healed." When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and He says, "I have healed thy waters," you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. God's people need waters healed too sometimes. I won't say much about this, but sin corrupts saved folks. And saved folks get out of the will of God. Saved folks allow some of that junk to get in there, the bitterness, the poison. Poison gets in the pot, and they try to drink it, and I'm telling you, it's going to ruin you and bring you down. I hear people talk about, well, she got saved when she was young. She made a profession, he made a profession. And then they almost say apologetically, "I don't know what happened after that, but they don't go to church anymore. Their life's all messed up. They got away from God. That's what happened." Listen, my friend, don't get away from God. You need to come to the Word of God and let it speak to your heart. Get on your knees in confession and prayer and ask God to forgive you in whatever that bitterness and sin is in your life. As a believer, get it out. Get rid of it. Judge it. And don't let it come back in there. The waters are healed. They're the bitter waters of sorrow that come in our lives. Trial comes, suffering comes. Some of you today are going through trials. I know that as your pastor. Some of you are going through suffering. Some it's physically, some emotionally. There are problems that you're going through. Some it's financially. All of those different things, they always seem to be bitter in taste to us. But my friend, if you'll just come to Jesus, I promise you He knows how to sweeten the cup of bitterness. He can make it a sweet experience. You say, "Well, I don't understand why I'm going through this. I don't understand why I have to experience this." Because God wants you to. I don't understand a lot of things. But I have to trust God and believe that God's going to use it for His glory. He has a purpose in it. That's why He let Lazarus go ahead and die. I can hear Mary and Martha maybe talking, saying, "I don't know why Jesus let him die. I don't know. He could have come. He could have come sooner than he came. I don't know why he didn't do that." You see, God had a sovereign purpose and something that was far greater. And He said, "It was better for me to wait those days and then come. And then Lazarus, being in the tomb, I could call him by name and raise him from the dead. And that'll bring more glory to me and more glory to the Father than for me to worry about what you really wanted. I want to glorify the Father, and I will allow sorrow and grief in your life in order to bring more glory to myself and to the Father." The scripture says, "Though no chastisement for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless," here's the word, "afterward." While we're going through it, it's not fun. "Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth" what? "The peaceable fruit of righteousness." Amen. It draws us closer to the Lord, to them that are exercised thereby. God uses it to bring us closer to Him. I've never gone through the valleys and the deep things of life, but what God used it to purge out something in my life and to draw me closer to Him. And I'll be honest with you, though it was tough to go through many of them and will be in the future, I thank God for every valley I've ever gone through. Because God was there and He made the waters that were bitter sweet whenever it was over with. And something you and I need to do is be a sweetener of life for others. God didn't save us just to sit and soak in our blessed assurance, did He? God saved us to do something for His glory. And here's what we need to do. We need to share what we've experienced in the Lord. We need to share it because many of them are going through bitter waters. Is there strife? Is there animosity and problems? Then you need to get that healed and get the sweet waters back. And you need to help people out who might be going through that. Do you know lonely people? People that are lonely, go help them out. God saved you to help people out like that. You know people that are hurting? Go there and help sweeten their lives. You know people that are lost? All of us should have a list of people we're praying for that are unsaved. We need to go to them and tell them about Jesus Christ. We need to tell them. All of them won't get saved, but we have the responsibility to be the salt, to be the life, to be the one who goes to them. And we can change the bitter waters, just like Elisha did. But we've got to be willing to speak up and tell others about Jesus Christ. Give them the message of hope. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The bitter waters, I think, in this text are typical of sin. And who can make that sweet? Only Jesus Christ. Elisha said, let me get the salt and pour it in. And in our society, we're the only ones that can make a difference. And friend, let me tell you, if you're lost, as I've said in this message, come to Him. You have the bitterness of a guilty conscience, the bitterness of unforgiven sin running through your heart, running through your mind. If you'll come to Jesus, He'll put the healing salt there. He'll save your soul today. And you can be saved and know you're on your way to heaven. Saved people, children of God, has your salt lost some of its savor? You need to get it back today. You need to get things right. There's poison there. There's something in the water that doesn't belong there. And you need to come and get it out. God's spoken to your heart about it. You need to do something about it. Let's stand while our heads are bowed. Father, we thank You for the Word of God and the principles that are eternal principles. And Father, we thank You that Jesus went to the cross and died so that He could come and give us healing. And He could heal the bitter waters of guilt in our lives, in our hearts. The bitter waters of sin unforgiven. I pray, dear God, if there's a man or woman, a boy or girl, under the sound of my voice right now, that they'd come and have those waters healed through Jesus Christ. Help believers to do right now what they need to do to make the water sweeter, to make it drinkable, to make their lives prosperous so that the spiritual crops will come up. Help us to do what we need to do. If we're guilty of prayerlessness, help us to correct it. If we're guilty of not reading our Bibles like we should, help us to correct it. If there are other sins in our life, bitterness and anger, jealousy, envy, other immoral sins, help us to judge those and get them right today, that the waters may be sweet again. In Jesus' name we pray.